website. That's WBAI.org and click Buddy. So you can become a Buddy. That's a monthly sustainer. $15 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month. Or you could make a one-shot contribution to WBAI to help keep it alive. It's independent radio. Independent media is essential to the functioning of a democratic society. So go to WBAI.org or call 212-209-2950. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and this is Real World. Sergeant, this is Real World, and I'm going to be talking with David Nugent, the artistic director for the Hamptons Film Festival, which is in its 30th year. So I got a chance to speak to David and actually get specific about his title.
So I'm actually the artistic director for Hamptons Film, which is the parent organization that puts on the Hamptons International Film Festival, which is our biggest event, but we do programming all year round. We also do a screenwriters lab, which just had its 22nd edition this spring, and a lot of other things throughout the year. But the biggest thing we do, and which we'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary of this year, is the film festival itself, which starts in a week.
Well, what's actually pretty fascinating or kind of amazing, the Hamptons Film Festival is like a small festival, a community, the Hamptons, it's small. I mean, there's so many other bigger festivals, but over 30 years, one of the things that happened is like you guys had an 11-year run where you screened the best picture winner at the Oscars. That I don't think there's ever been a festival that's done that. So tell me a little bit about what the initial mission of the Hamptons Film Festival was, because it wasn't necessarily to pick the best picture Oscar for every year. So
true. That's true. And I will say this will be my 16th edition. So I was not here for the first 14. But I do know, you know, I think it was a time where festivals were popping up around the world, and there was a lot of excitement in the independent film world. And I think there was also some interest to sort of have, you know, the summer is a whole thing out in the Hamptons, as I'm sure you've heard. And I think there was some interest in bringing some attention and cultural activities to parts of the year that were not just the summer. So what one could call the shoulder season, you know, sort of before summer and after summer. So I think that's sort of why it landed in October. And I think, you know, there's a very cultured, passionate, movie loving community out in the Hamptons, and not just the Hamptons, but sort of the East End of Long Island too, because we get a lot of people that come in who are not just specifically in the Hamptons to see stuff. And so I think that's why it was created 30 years ago.
Well, I agree. What I also want your take, because I know you're besides, and I'd like to know when you actually sleep, but besides being the artistic director and running the screenwriting lab that you guys do, you've also teach, you've taught the history of documentary film and independent American independent film. We're in a time now, 30 years ago, there was a fraction of the amount of film festivals that there are now. So what do you think are maybe the things that made the Hamptons Film Festival? Because there are many reasons why you could dismiss a smaller film festival, but you guys have just grown in stature, in respect, in like, what's the secret sauce in your opinion?
Gosh, I don't think there's one secret sauce per se. And I think to address a few things you said there, like, yes, we are smaller in a lot of ways. And, you know, I was at the Toronto Film Festival a couple of weeks ago, which is the biggest film festival in North America. And it's a wonderful film festival in a great city with really passionate audiences. And it's huge. You know, I went to a lot of screenings in auditoriums that seated well over 1,000 people. And that's wonderful in a lot of ways. I really enjoy it. And they do a great job. We're a different kind of thing. Obviously, we're not in a big city. We're in a smaller part of the world and the country and the state of New York. We have smaller houses, which cuts both ways, but in the nice way it is, you know, it's a much more intimate feel to come to a screening at our festival and to be able to hear from the creators of the film, the actors, the directors, the producers, the screenwriters, the cinematographers, and so on and so forth. It just feels a lot more intimate, and it's just a beautiful place to be and at really the best time of year. And to address sort of what you mentioned earlier, that yes, we did end up being the only festival in the world that had screened the Best Picture winner 11 years in a row, which was wonderful. It was certainly not something we set out to do. We set out to bring what we think are the best films from around the world to our audiences out east. And if they end up connecting with Academy voters, you know, the following winter or spring, that's great. But I think as that kind of kept going, and we're like, we did it 1 year and then 2 years and around three, and it just kind of kept going. And then I think it picked up a little more of attention. Other people started noticing it and thinking, oh, wow, if I want to sort of see some of the films that are really going to land in award season, this is a really good place to do it, and a place to do it where you can be in a really nice, beautiful spot and interact with a lot of the creative people from the film. So I think that's another thing that happened, which has been really nice.
Well, I'm sure it has. The fact that you've been there during that 11-year period, I'm sure it had nothing to do with it.
So, well, I'm one member of a really hardworking programming team that helps select the film. So, I certainly can't take all the credit for that. I work with some really great people on it.
Well, no, I would have to, you know, it definitely takes a village to
exactly
put on something like this. So tell me a little bit about, I mean, you have a lot of films there, but we could talk just a little bit about your opening night, your closing night, and maybe your centerpiece and maybe why you chose them.
Sure. Our opening night film is a film called Living by Oliver Hermanis.
Mr. Williams, a little on the frosty side, perhaps.
Not too much fun in laughter. Rather like church.
I did it up. Small wonder I didn't notice what I was becoming.
Dad, you all right?
If only to be alive for one day. But I realize it. I don't know how.
Starring Bill Nighy, and it's a really, it was actually, I had seen it at Sundance earlier this year, and when I said seen it at Sundance, I mean I saw it on my TV because unfortunately Sundance didn't take place in the way that we would have hoped it would due to a COVID surge at the time. So it's a film that sort of hasn't really, I think, been able to play to as many live audiences as it should. And it's a sort of reimagining of Akira Kurosawa's Ikiru, And Bill Nighy plays a man, a civil servant, who gets a terrible health diagnosis, and it's about how he lives out the rest of his life. And it's just so beautifully done, and I'm really excited to share that with our audience. We've got two centerpiece films. We've got one, Women Talking, and we've got Judith Ivey, who's one of the lead actresses for that, coming out. It's Sarah Polley's new film, which is wonderful. I'm thrilled about that. And we have The Sun also.
You can't just show up here with no warning. What's wrong? Did something happen?
Yes.
Nicholas has come to live with me, and he's improving, but he's a little fragile.
Is that why you came to see me? You're blaming me for what happened?
He's different from the others.
What makes you say that?
Why don't you answer me?
I do answer you.
The look in his eye is disturbing.
She wants to turn us against one another.
So much joy in our family. I feel like a complete failure.
If I'm like this, it's your fault.
What have I done? What's my fault?
Haven't I always done everything for you? I have the right to reinvent my life. It is my life.
Everything okay at home?
Yeah. Everything's fine.
A couple of years ago, we had a film called The Father by Florian Zeller, which we screened, which was a big hit and went on to win Anthony Hopkins the Best Actor Award. And now it's 2 years later, and this is part of a trilogy that Zeller is making. And we're screening the new one, which stars Laura Dern and Hugh Jackman and others. And we're very excited about that. And we may or may not have some special guests coming to that. So I'll just tease that out there, but can't say anything more. But it's going to be a really great screening on the Sunday night in particular when we screen that. And then our closing night film, Senior, so about Robert Downey Sr., which is made partly by his son, Robert Downey Jr., and by Chris Smith. Robert Downey Jr., who, you know, lives a lot of his life out in the Hamptons now, actually very close to where a lot of our film screening. Robert Downey Sr. is, of course, a legendary American independent filmmaker, and we're really excited. And, you know, he sadly died about a year ago, but before that, they started making this film, kind of looking back on his life and some elements of their relationship. So it's a really moving film. I think it's a great way to close out the festival. And I just want to mention one other film, because I'm actually just flipping through our catalog here and thinking about things. And we have this film, Devotion, which I'm super excited about.
Ready, set, hit!
You the only person I ever met belonged in the sky. Just remember, you belong down here with us too, okay?
Commanding officer called you one of the best pilots he's ever seen.
It must be hard being the
naval aviator. Absolutely.
The whole world's looking different.
Did you ever think that you'd be in a squadron with a colored aviator?
Lieutenant Tom Hudner.
Jesse Brown.
It's good to meet you.
We're taking a slight detour on the way home. Say again?
We're going to find out about your wingman cruising at 10,000 feet, Lieutenant.
Put him in a little bit of trouble. Who knows?
We might get a peek at who he really is.
The North Koreans came pouring over the 38th parallel.
If our guys need help, then we're up.
We knew this day might come.
Yeah, it doesn't make it any easier.
The most important thing is this. We bring everyone home.
Mistakes get us killed.
Can't tell you how many times people have told me to give up, quit, die even.
As long as you can't always do what you're told.
It's a mag!
If I did, I wouldn't be here.
What do you want me to do?
Just be my wingman.
The real battle in all of life is being someone that people can count on.
That was pretty good.
It's good.
By J.D. Dillard, who's coming out to the festival. And it's about two elite Navy, U.S. Navy pilots during the Korean War. And I love this film. It's a really moving, beautiful film. One of them is African American, one of them is white. And it's sort of about their friendship and their connection that took place. It's based on a real story. We've got a couple of the actors coming out from the film. The lead actress is coming out for the film. One of the lead actors is coming out for the film. The director, the producer, it's called Devotion. We have the U.S. premiere of this film, and I'm super excited about that. So I just wanted to
throw that. Well, I have to tell you, I might even hit you up because my dad was in the Korean War.
Oh, wow.
And he's still with us. And
wow.
He's lots of photos, amazingly enough. And it is sort of the forgotten war. It's one of those
exactly.
wars, you know, people just don't, and there are very few films been made about it. So I'm very excited to see it. And so is my dad. So.
Oh, I think it is a perfect film for you guys to see. I hope you can come out to the festival where we'll have his first screening in America. And where, as I say, we have a lot of special guests coming for this one too. So
nice.
It's going to be a very special screening.
Well, I also have to say I'm excited about the Robert Downey Sr. because he was one of the first guests I had on WBAI.
Oh, wow.
I still do a late night show, but I had him on.
And that's incredible.
It was incredible. So,
yeah.
I've never had on, I've interviewed his son. Uh-huh. I've never had him on live.
So. Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
So it is. Well, I thank you, David. Now, where can people get tickets? What's the best way? What's the best way to get out there from New York City?
Well, so the best way to get out here from New York City are two ways, probably. The Jitney or the Long Island Railroad. I mean, unless one has a car, they could always drive out. I take both the Hampton Jitney, which is great, which is basically a bus that just goes back and forth between the east end of Long Island and New York City, and it leaves literally like every hour. So that's one way to do it. Or the Long Island Railroad, which I take a lot too, which goes from Penn Station out there. And so those are two very easy and affordable ways to get out there. And in terms of how to get tickets, on our website, hamptonsfilmfest.org, we have all of our films listed there. There's still a lot of tickets available. So that's the best way to do it. You can buy a pass if you want. You can buy ticket packages, or you can just buy individual tickets. So there's a lot of ways to do it. Or you can call. We actually have a call center too, which I forgot about. But people can also call our call center, whose phone number I should know off the top of my hand, but it's 631-825-0050. So they can call that way as well.
I'm going to talk about two other films that are actually coming out today. And one is a film called The Greatest Beer Run Ever.
Are you ready?
What are we doing?
We're going to run for our lives.
We're halfway home. Halfway?
I'm Chickie Donahue, and I am not supposed to be in Vietnam.
Hey, get your ass out of bed, you lazy bum. Look at you, sleeping your life away.
Look at these scumbags.
You're embarrassing yourself, and you're embarrassing your family.
Do these protesters not know that our soldiers see that on TV?
I'd like to go over to Vietnam, track down all the boys in the neighborhood, and give them a beer.
I could do that.
Do what?
Bring him beer.
He's not serious. He's hammered. Look at him.
The man's stone sober. That's his fifth beer, maybe. Tops.
I'm going to Vietnam, and I'm bringing a beer!
Yeah!
Hey, Chief, no chance you have a ship heading to Vietnam.
1,700 hours.
Tonight? It's not going to be easy.
But I'm going to show him that this country is still behind him.
You're going to get yourself killed over there.
It's like you said. Everyone's doing something. I'm doing nothing. One morning,
smuggling beer into a war zone? It's not the smartest thing I've ever heard of. It's certainly not the worst either. A new day,
a new way. What if you start up here with Collins?
Just came to deliver a sudsy thank you card.
And then, if you're still alive...
You American?
New York.
Thanks a lot. You can hustle down to Dugan.
Ta-da!
Chicky,
I brought you beer.
You shouldn't be here.
You think this is funny?
I'm not doing this for laughs. I'm doing it for all you guys. Come on, time to go.
Is it over?
Yeah, you're dead. If you don't
get it, do you, chick? This isn't a John Wayne movie where you know the good guys are and you know the bad guys are.
I didn't come all this way just to quit.
Somebody's got to be here to see what's going on. I want the truth told. For them. They're just kids.
You're going to find out it's a lot harder to get out of a war than it is to get into one.
I'm trying to show them that somebody back home is still behind her.
You got a good heart, Chickie. It's your brains I'm worried about.
Who's this hand job?
It's my next door neighbor. He brought me a beer. Hi.
Now, The Greatest Beer Run Ever was a film that, looking at the poster and the title, Zac Efron, Russell Crowe, why do I want to see this film? But I have to say, I was surprised at what this film was. It's directed by Peter Farrelly, who's one of the Farrelly brothers, who were sort of the comedian or the comedy movie du jour. They did Something About Mary and a number of other really big hit films back in the day. I'd say this film is not a perfect film. It's surprising. It definitely has a tone that you don't expect. It starts out as a comedy, but it's really a social commentary. It's based on a true story about a man named John Chickie Donahue who left Inwood, New York in 1967 to track down his local buddies who were in the army, who were in Vietnam at the time. Now, back then, he was able to just jump on a ship with a bag of beer and go there. Now, it's a lot more difficult than that, but it was actually a lot simpler than you would think. And through a series of circumstances, he does actually get to go see some of his friends. But of course, his naivete and what his view of the war was and patriotism and why we're there and everything. It's a movie that it's obvious that this is made now, that it's obvious that the parallels to what's going on today and how the media distorts things and what is really the purpose behind war and what America's really about. All those things are discussed here. It doesn't necessarily say anything new. It's interesting to see how this story is told because you wonder, how can this really sustain itself? How can this even really make sense? And this seems somewhat unbelievable, but it being based on a true story is probably the most fascinating thing about it. I think Zac Efron is pretty much a solid actor who, as a pretty boy, really doesn't get taken seriously, probably similar to Truly Beautiful Women as well, but I think that this is a film that he definitely can say he created a character, believable. Russell Crowe is probably one of the most believable, as a war journalist, is probably one of the most believable roles I've ever seen him in. You totally buy him as the character. It's worth seeing. It's on Apple TV Plus right now. Probably not worth going to the movies for, but you could do worse with your time. The next film is a film that everybody had been waiting for. It's a film called Blonde.
Miss Monroe, it's time.
A kiss on the hand.
How'd you get your start?
Maybe.
What start?
In movies.
What? Continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.
I guess I was discovered.
Men broke home as girls.
I know you're supposed to get used to it.
And we all lose our charm in the end.
But I just can't. Marilyn Monroe. I can't face doing another scene with Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn doesn't exist. When I come out of my dressing room, I'm Normie Jean. I still heard when the camera's rolling. exist on the screen.
Blonde is a new movie, as you've probably heard, about Marilyn Monroe. It's directed by Andrew Dominik, and it stars Ana de Armas playing, of course, Marilyn Monroe. Now, this is based on the novel by Joyce Carol Oates from back in 2000 that was sort of a fictionalized version of Marilyn's life. This film, as many films, is sort of about Marilyn. It's sort of like a highlights of Marilyn. The difference here is that we are ostensibly getting to understand what it was like or what we didn't see, what was going on beyond the image of Marilyn Monroe, why she was so unhappy, what exactly had happened to her. And we really get lots of close-ups on the abuse she went through, how she was taken advantage of by men, how she was beaten by her first husband. I would say Joe DiMaggio is not going to be, his family's not going to be very happy about this film, and neither will a number of other people who were part of her life. It is well done. Ana de Armas is a very good dead ringer for Marilyn. Now, Marilyn's something of an icon. She's larger than life. It's well after 60 years past her death, and a lot has been written about her. There have been numerous movies about her. She's been portrayed. She's been imitated. She's still a little bit of an enigma. This movie is interesting. I think Ana de Armas is probably one of the best things about it, but I think all the performances are, particularly Adrian Brody. It's right now on Netflix. It was in theaters for a few weeks. It just came on Netflix a couple days ago, and I'd say it's definitely, if you're a Marilyn Monroe fan, it's worth watching. If you're a fan of old movies, they definitely recreate the period very well, and it's interesting to see some of the actors who play some of the famous people you know that were in her life. I like the film, but at the end of the day, you have to kind of wonder, what was the point in making this? I'm Mike Sargent. This has been Real World. I'm on every Friday from 6:30 to 7. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider making a pledge in the name of Real World. Until next week, I'll see you at the movies.
Greetings. I'm Francesca D'Alessio with the WBAI Community Bulletin Board. On Wednesday, September 29th, volunteers are needed for a public art project on the Lower East Side. Little Amal Walks. Volunteers wearing N95 masks will need to be available for the rehearsal starting at 10 a.m. and then for the event itself from 1 to 2 on the same day. Volunteers will be fed pizza, light refreshments, have travel reimbursed, and receive a modest $40 stipend. Starting at 10 a.m., please meet at Eldridge and Broom Streets. For more information about volunteering, please email Jenny Romaine at romainejnyc@gmail.com. Email Jenny Romaine, RomaineJnyc, @gmail.com. On Tuesday, September 27th, free yoga in the park with Harlem Wellness Center. That's Tuesday evening, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. in St. Nicholas Park on St. Nicholas Avenue and St. Nicholas Terrace. For more information, please visit their website, harlemwellness.org. On Wednesday, September 28th, there's a rally, an opportunity to testify to end solitary confinement in New York City. Join New York Alternatives to Isolated Torture for a rally on the steps of City Hall at 10 a.m. Then testify at the public hearing that starts at 11 a.m. For more information, please go to their website, nycaic.org. Or email Victor Pate at vpate@nycaic.org. Also on Wednesday, the Coalition for Women Prisoners is meeting to discuss advocacy, organizing oral histories, and archives about women impacted by the prison system in New York State. That's happening Wednesday, September 28th at 6 p.m. online and free to the public. For more information, please call 212-854-2067. 854-2067. Or send an email to